This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Hi guys, welcome back. We are actually recording a little bit earlier because it is a long weekend in Adelaide and we have actually got some plans. Sophie, you're off to a wedding again.
Yes, I am. As my nana said, it's very trendy at the moment to get married. It's actually daylight savings as well, which is really weird because I feel like I've been robbed of an hour, but I feel like tomorrow I'm going to really appreciate it because it will be finally light for longer.
Well, I'm just excited because I feel like it means we can officially start celebrating Christmas.
Well, it's funny you say that because I was just scrolling on Facebook before we started recording and a friend of mine posted a picture of his Christmas tree up and he wrote, "If you are ready for 2020 to be over, get your tree up, hurry up Christmas." Now, I actually like this sentiment because I'm all about decorating early.
I'm all for it. I was so excited when I went into Target and saw their decorations on display. I had to send you guys a Snapchat straight away. And I'm in two minds at the moment because now I have Archie, my dog. I feel like for the first time in my life, I might actually have to buy a fake Christmas tree. And I am struggling with how much you spend on one of these because it'll be in your family for a long time.
Yeah, well, real Christmas trees are actually around like $100 to $150. So I feel like if you do buy one, like a fake one, it is an investment. So you can spend quite a bit, I feel.
I actually hate myself though, because I hate fake Christmas trees, but I care more about my dog.
So do I. I like the whole thing of putting up a Christmas tree early, but you can't do that with a real Christmas tree.
That's
so
true.
I feel like you can have a fake Christmas tree to put it up early. Mm. You know, put it up. I think now's a bit ridiculous, but maybe the 1st of November.
No, it's the pageant day. So for those who don't live in Adelaide, and I find this mind-boggling, but we have something called the Christmas pageant that not a lot of people know about, and I think it's usually early November, maybe like the 4th or 5th, and that is the day that signifies that you put your Christmas tree up in Adelaide.
I'm also struggling as well in this new house. As well as having it a fake tree, I don't know where to put it.
Like just my first house world has problems.
No, because I need to be able to see the Christmas tree whilst I'm watching the television.
Look, can you not talk to me about your problems in your house? I think I am greatly affected. I have the red carpet in my house.
That's festive.
Now that we've got a new couch, there also isn't a very big area and I might have to get a fake tree because Reese is allergic to pine.
Just go with red baubles. I think it would go with the red carpet.
I actually did add some red baubles. So last year my Christmas decoration theme was rose gold, silver and gold, but it just didn't
pink,
look right.
And
pink as well. But now I've added like, it's not, I know people say you're not meant to match pink and red, but it's kind of like a maroon.
Well, I'd love to hear what everyone else thinks. Head to our Facebook community, Outspoken, the podcast community, and tell us whether you have a real Christmas tree or a fake one and how much you think someone should spend on a fake Christmas tree.
It's going to be hard trying to convince Brandon because I reckon it should be around the $500 mark.
I think David Jones is a good spot to buy. But as we said, please share in our community some good spots you can buy Christmas trees.
Or even if you've seen one, because I'm still tossing up. Do I want snow? Do I want greenery? It's very difficult.
I just had like the plain gluten-free flour because I was out of the buckwheat flour. And I also added a drizzle of olive oil because I like to have a source of fat in the batter because it makes it more moist and juicy.
Sarah's Day's secret project has been exposed on social media commentary website Tattle Life. It has been revealed the self-proclaimed holistic health princess will launch a fitness and recipe app called Sunny. The YouTuber has spent the last 2 years working on the project, which is yet to have a confirmed launch date. Kate, can you tell us what happened? How did people find out about the app?
Well, it seems like there's some people with a lot of time on their hands because they have done a deep dive on Google and the ABN registry. So what they've done is they have Googled Sarah's real name, which is Sarah Stevenson, which still blows my mind. I can't believe her name's not actually Sarah's Day. So they've Googled Sarah Stevenson along with the keyword ABN, which means Australian business number. Now, this brings up 4 different Sarah Stevensons with ABNs. And you have a look through and you can find one that actually has the entity name listed as the trustee for Sarah Stevenson's trust, which is the correct one. The location is also listed as New South Wales, another clue that it is Sarah's Day's listing. So the most interesting part of this listing is the fact that there is a name of a business called Sunny registered under the ABN, which is Sarah's Day's new secret project, or project, as she always says. Now, when you click on the name Sunny, it takes you to the Australian Securities and Investment Commission, which is ASIC. So ASIC actually regulates registered companies, financial markets, and providers of financial service and credit services. It also pulls up that the organisational representative of Sunny is Sarah's Day Pty Limited. So, of course, we do know for a fact that this is Sarah's Day.
I love the fact that Celebrity Spellchecker is already on it and they've tagged Sarah's Day and Sunny in a number of their different posts. I feel like everyone is keen to kind of ruin the surprise because I feel like it's something we've been waiting for almost a year and it's been dangled like a carrot over our heads.
Yeah, well, of course, you're referring to the fact that Celebrity Spellcheck tagged the Instagram page, which has already been set up alongside a website which says coming soon, and it's all in that sort of Sarah's Day blush pink.
Well, all we've heard so far from Sarah about the project is that it is a secret cooking project, and she was quick to squash rumors that it was an ebook. So this has all just confirmed that it is, of course, an app.
Well, we've also seen a few photos go up of the content that she's creating, her talking about how she's developing recipes and trying them again. So we have seen a little bit of the process, which is quite unusual for her projects.
Well, I don't think it's a surprise to anyone that it is a fitness and cooking app. I feel like it was sort of the very obvious thing considering she's had her own fitness ebooks and she's been pushing all of these cooking recipes.
Well, it's really the on-trend thing at the moment to create a fitness and nutrition app. I mean, you look at people like Keep It Cleaner and everyone wants to have that engagement with the trainer and also have a whole bunch of recipes on their phone.
Well, it's also subscription-based, so people are paying a monthly fee and it's usually ongoing and locks you in potentially for a couple of months to a year.
It's actually crazy to think how much money people can make off these subscription services. I mean, on Sarah's Day's ebook alone, she would have made over $250,000 when you crunch the numbers. So thinking about the fact that that is going to be continually rolling over in the background, her wealth is just going to soar.
Well, the thing about the subscription services is that they often have an automatic sign up. So it makes business sense to sign people on for a year. And then so many people forget that they've actually signed onto an app. And before you know it, you've signed on for an extra year.
Oh, I do wonder how Sarah's business will go in making sure those subscriptions are automatic or that they're managed properly, because there was a lot of feedback when she released her ebook that, well, it was actually an ebook sale recently and people were complaining because I think they personally send you the link to the download and then you have to download it and it's only available for 24 hours. And there was a lot of complaints going on that this process wasn't running smoothly.
I actually ended up buying the book when it was on sale because I was really intrigued to see how difficult it was. And I found the process quite simple. So I think that people didn't actually read the guidelines of how to download it properly. I don't think there was anything dodgy involved.
Well, you are dealing with probably 14 and 15-year-olds, because that would be a big demographic of Sarah's fan base.
Well, I'm interested to see how the subscription actually goes, because Ashley Bynes got in hot water over her subscription fitness app. Mm. And, you know, people were complaining because money kept being taken out of the account after they'd cancelled. So while it's a big money maker, it could actually ruin her reputation further if something dodgy like that is to happen.
Yeah, and I feel like you need a really big team of tech-savvy people around you. Even with Keep It Cleaner, they first had a website and then they launched their app and they've done a new app recently and there have been glitches along the way and I feel like they've actually got quite a big IT team.
I think we have to remember that Sarah's Day has been developing this app for over 2 years. I do think she is going to have quite a good team behind her and she's not the sort of person that will put out a product if she's not entirely happy with it.
I don't know. I feel like she's kind of a control freak, which we've seen on her vlogs before. And it seems like she employs people that are a part of her friendship group or family. So her best friend, Tanika, is her personal assistant that seems to be doing a bulk of the work. And then obviously her partner, Kurt, helps out as well.
Well, she did say that she'd poured a lot of money into it, like a scary amount of money into it. So yeah, I'm sure that they would have app developers on board.
Yeah. The thing is though, I suppose to compare it to Kayla Estenis's Sweat app. So it's probably arguably the biggest fitness app in the world at the moment. And one of my colleagues actually visited the office where the app is created. And there was a team of probably like 30 to 40 developers working on the app. So I'm just saying you really need the staff there to make sure that there's no glitches, especially when people are paying a substantial amount of money for the app. And it's interesting you talk about the fact that Sarah's had a lot of different businesses, because it was quite crazy. I did a bit of digging myself and I looked into the trademark of Sarah's name. So she only trademarked the term Sarah's Day in July 16th of this year.
That's crazy. I don't understand why that would be. I mean, for background, she has had a YouTube channel for over 7 years, so it seems strange to only do it this year.
It was quite interesting because under this trademarking, Sarah had to list down all the goods and services that are contained within the trademark, and there was a list of 30 different things on the website.
It seemed like there were some quite unusual things that popped up.
Yeah, so there was the usual things talking about her podcast and vlogging and that sort of thing. But then there was also things like general wellness instrument and apparatus for estimating maximal oxygen consumption.
That sounds like a product.
Yeah, and there was also stuff about analyzing, tracking and measuring different biometric body data, movement, sleep, heart rate and calories burnt. And then of course there was information regarding the fitness app, which made people assured that it was actually going to be a fitness and recipe based app.
Well, keeping a project secret is a pretty common marketing practice for not just Sarah's Day but other YouTubers.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, for Sarah, she has had so many different product launches. I mean, she's had protein balls, fruit and nut mix, activewear campaigns, sunglasses, skincare.
She's even got lip balm coming out this week.
Yeah, and with so many different products, Sarah uses quite a winning formula of creating hype around them by keeping them a secret and then pushing people to the reveal YouTube video.
Well, as we touched on, she's definitely not the only influencer who does this. We've also seen YouTuber Madison Woolley promoting her secret project or projects this week, and people are just boggled at what it actually is. She had a photo shoot this week in a mansion with her friend who was a stylist, and a lot of people were guessing perhaps it was a clothing line, which most influencers seem to do, but apparently it's not even that. So I really have no idea what this project is.
I think the most surprising thing for me was she keeps saying that it's this passion of hers and it will all make sense, but for me, I don't really know enough about her from her YouTube channel to know what her passion is other than clothing.
Yeah, in that regard, I am actually quite interested to see what it is. But in saying that, I just think the whole secret project thing is wearing a bit thin with consumers. In this day and age, when there's so many people who are starting their own businesses, we as consumers want to see the process. I mean, when I hear that an influencer has a new line or a new brand, I kind of think, oh, well, clearly their name's just been slapped on it and they've made no decision. So I think when we're taken out of that process and don't get to see any of it, we kind of don't have that connection or engagement with that brand.
Yeah, and I suppose that might potentially be why Sarah has been sharing some of her recipes. I mean, in the past, she has cooked a lot on her Instagram story and her YouTube channel, but it is weird not to just sort of blatantly say, yeah, I am doing an app, because it's not a really big surprise. I suppose someone that's done really well in that area of keeping things quite open and honest is Chloe Zepp. She has a highly successful activewear range called Zepp, and she's very forthcoming when it comes to launching new products in the range. So she'll often be seen wearing different things that they're testing out, and that range still sells out within minutes.
In saying that, I suppose that's because she's already launched the brand itself, the activewear brand, and then she's just following on for new lines.
Yeah, that's true, but a lot of people have different ranges that they keep secret.
That's true. Now, someone else who's been doing this incredibly well is Courtney Mangan. Now, she is creative director of James Cosmetics. She also runs two very successful businesses and has a podcast. And she has been taking us behind the scenes of developing her own stationery brand, which looks incredible.
Yeah, I have been loving the updates because you feel like you're a part of it. She's even allowing people to vote on the layout of pages and the color schemes.
There's that real engagement there that at the end of it, you're going to get a product that you actually find incredibly useful. And I feel like it really steps away from this bullshit girl boss ideology that other influencers are kind of putting on us. I feel like they're perpetuating that in order to be a girl boss, all you have to do is look glamorous in a photo and your product is already there for the taking. It doesn't show the hard work that actually and the hustle that goes into producing something of your own.
Yeah, that's so true. This whole secret project thing really does create the illusion that they've just come up with this magical product overnight, and it's just not reflective of what actually goes on.
I feel like there's a bit of a wank factor there as well with, you know, you're a somebody if you've got a secret project in the works. I feel like it's very old school influencer marketing, a bit like these influencer trips that we spoke about a few weeks ago. I feel like people have got to progress, and now with Corona, we're expecting so much more from our influencers and people that we want to engage with. We want people to be intelligent. We want them to be clever. We want to be along for the ride of what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I do understand understand the whole thing where you want to launch the product and have an immediate call to action. So you don't want to launch a video and say, hey, I'm releasing a fitness and recipe app in 2 years' time, and there's no call to action. But I feel like with Sarah's loyal fan base and the fact that she's had so many products that have been so successful and sold out, that it wouldn't have hurt for her to say that she was launching an app and taking people along for the ride. Because when she does finally launch the product and have that call to action to download, she already has that ready-made audience that are going to swipe up and purchase straight away.
Yeah, well, I think that's more where a more sophisticated marketing strategy needs to come into it, where you are constantly drip feeding little details about your project. Obviously, that's more difficult to do over 2 years, but I think it would create greater engagement and also less resentment towards some influencers. Mm. I mean, obviously we've talked about Madison Woolley, and you sometimes do wonder, what do these people do all day? Like, they always say, I've got a secret project. But if we actually knew what their secret project was, we'd be more hesitant in saying they're doing nothing.
Yeah, especially when a lot of people's secret projects end up being some collaboration with a fast fashion brand, and it's like Sammy Robinson brought to you by Princess Polly. I feel like if it is really a project that you're passionate about, then why not share it to begin with?
Now, it seems like whenever Sarah's Day brings out a project, there's a level of controversy surrounding it. Of course, with her recent White Fox activewear line, she was accused of cultural appropriation. And some people seem to think that the new name Sunny might also be some form of cultural appropriation, because the name Sunny is a Thai name for a girl.
Well, the name Sunny actually means good things, and as you said, is of Thai origin. And I feel like as soon as people saw that it was a cultural name, people were jumping to conclusions that it was cultural appropriation.
Now, as someone who has developed a number of different business names for our PR company, I think it's important to note that it is really difficult to come up with a name that hasn't already been taken. I feel like perhaps Sarah would have preferred to call it Sunny, but that name clearly was taken. I don't actually think that she's trying to make any sort of cultural reference there or be culturally insensitive in any way.
Well, as soon as I heard the word Sunny, I actually thought of Sunny Life, which is a summer lifestyle brand in Australia known for some really cool pool toys. For me, when I heard that she was calling her app Sunny, it actually made a lot of sense in terms of her branding, because she really likes to promote herself as a bubbly, fun, energetic person that loves the sun and the beach.
I didn't see anything glaringly wrong with the name itself.
It was interesting though, because someone in our community actually brought up the discussion about the Sunny app and whether we thought that perhaps she was purposely naming it something controversial. And I've got to say, I really don't think that's the case at all.
I don't think they have that level of sophistication to think what is going to be quite offensive to people. I don't think that that would be their marketing strategy at all.
Oh, I know. And it's strange, because you can actually see that train of thought, because her activewear line recently sold out after all the cultural appropriation controversy. But I feel like they don't mean to do it. It's interesting because Sarah hasn't actually commented on the fact that the app has been leaked. In fact, I think she's still pretending that people don't know what it is.
Personally, if I think that's the right way to go, she doesn't want to come across as being negative about it or acting immaturely like she did with the White Fox campaign.
Exactly right. And I think, to be honest, it doesn't really matter that people know what it is. It was fairly obvious that that's what she was doing the whole time.
These producers are fucking idiots. I'm going home. I don't need the money. Do you think these gonna pay my mortgage? I've got money.
I know you
are.
Listen, Gemma.
I'm claustrophobic, Darren!
Now let's get into the reality wrap. Now, we are so excited because Chappelle Corby is set to make her debut on SAS Australia. We have believed in Chappelle's innocence back when we were 16. We actually did a podcast about it, which we'll link in our show notes.
It's really a story that got us interested in journalism in the first place. I remember just being glued to the television screen throughout the trial and obviously the verdict, and just thinking about how incredibly unfair the whole situation was. So I'm really excited to see Chappelle getting the opportunity for people to see a different side of her. And I really hope it changes people's perceptions.
Yeah, it should be interesting. There was a teaser last night on TV showing that they actually put Chappelle through an interrogation process and brought up the court case. Well, I am really interested to see how she goes on the show. Well, there was actually an interview she did in Stella magazine today, and it was so funny because they asked her what her favorite thing about being on the show was, and she actually said looking at swimmer Jay Magnuson's body. Now, she did preface that she actually does have a boyfriend that is long distance, but she just said it was a beautiful body to look at.
I like that she's having a bit of fun with it, and I really hope it does change some people's perceptions.
Yeah, well, she actually did say that she didn't care what people think and that she understands that people are going to have a negative opinion of her because of what's happened. But she actually said that the whole reason she went on the show was so she could get control over her mind, and it was really for herself, and she's proud she did it. So good on her.
I don't think we could get through the reality rap without talking about Bachelor runner-up Bella. She was, of course, on Life Uncut this week and Shameless, and she was very much pushing to be next year's Bachelorette.
Yeah, it was weird to hear her on both of those podcasts. I did listen to both, and they were pretty enjoyable to listen to. It was kind of interesting because I feel like Laura Byrne's been trying to sort of play down their friendship, but during the interview, it sounded like they were actually really close friends. In fact, Laura even said she called Bella after the finale aired.
Well, I mean, I didn't actually get that vibe as much. I think that
really perhaps they were talking about how close they were, and they're messaging constantly.
Well, I just think because she's gone through the same thing as her, it probably made them somewhat closer.
I don't know. I feel like Bella has a lot of powerful friends, and it seemed like she was using her powerful friends to kind of push the agenda that she should be considered Bachelorette.
But that's what I found so mind-blowing, because she was quite outspoken on the fact that she was trolled online, which is horrendous. It would be a very difficult process to go through. But then I don't know why you would then want to throw yourself in the spotlight again if you did go through such a horrendous time.
I just feel during both of those interviews, there was a lot of tiptoeing around the motivations for Bella to go on the show. And I just felt like screaming, she went on there to increase her fame.
Well,
like,
someone who wasn't afraid to speak about her motivations was Megan Pacetto from the So Dramatic podcast, and there was quite an interesting altercation between the two of them on their social channels. So Megan posted up the fact that Max Connectors, which is a huge influencer agency, had announced that Bella would be joining their book. So the post said, congrats to Bella, who has just signed with Australia's number one influencer agency. Whoever said she went on the show to boost her profile and social media presence must have been tripping.
So this made me laugh so much.
So Bella really didn't hold back now that she can actually say what she thinks. She wrote, I'm actually flattered that all you do is talk about me. Thanks for the free publicity. She then did quite a passive aggressive face with love heart. So Megan wrote back, my pleasure. I'm happy to be of service and help you achieve your goals. Now, this is when Bella must have seen red. She wrote back, you mean you're happy to constantly bring someone down? You're lucky I'm strong-minded enough to look past the bullshit you've spread about me, because it would really fuck with someone who had depression. Everything you've attempted to spread has been completely inaccurate and has zero truth to it. The only super spreader here is you. Now, that comes off the back of her telling Life Uncut that she did date Cody Simpson.
Yeah, it was bizarre, because all of the things that Megan Pacetto had said about Bella on her podcast were actually true.
She just clearly didn't like the tone. I thought she was really rude to Megan. She then called her a clout chaser and said she rides off the back of new Bachelor seasons and called her the laugh of the industry.
Look, I do think it was rude, but then again, on the flip side, I can kind of see where they're coming from in the point, like, you would actually be really pissed off and you might just see red and, like, I don't think she should have actually gone on a public platform and abused her at all. I think if you're going to actually, if you have a problem with what someone's doing, do it privately.
But I think that Megan had quite a good point. I mean, the Daily Telegraph has written horrendous things about her. Why not have a go at a big media organization like that, as opposed to an independent podcaster?
I think people don't realize how small some of these independent people are in terms of, you know, they're doing it from their house. They're working really hard to get a podcast up. And then they kind of just see them as these bigger than they are. Like, as you said, why not go after the Daily Mail? Why not go after the Telegraph?
Well, I feel like if she'd stayed silent, it kind of would have been a bit stronger and she would have looked above all of the bullshit.
It is funny when you think about it, because Bella would know that Megan's not going to change her stance on her thoughts on Bella. However, she can actually use the Daily Mail and the Telegraph to her advantage. So it wouldn't be in her benefit to abuse a big media organization
but
like that.
I don't think it's in her benefit to abuse Megan, who's just, if Bella is the Bachelor, can you imagine now how hard Megan is going to go at her? She would have just been better to befriend her and say, hey, it was kind of funny what you said.
Yeah,
that
exactly
being said,
right.
We're all not perfect. You know,
I
get angry when people write shit
to us. That's what I meant. Like, I could see how that would push your buttons and you would just explode.
Hi guys, and welcome back to my channel.
Now let's get into my favorite segment, which is the influencer rap. And we're going to start off with Tammy Hembro's new boyfriend. So she has gone public on YouTube with her boyfriend. They've apparently been dating for a year already, but she chose now to introduce him. So he is an Australian surf Ironman and a restaurateur. His name is Matt Pohl.
Yeah, well, this video went out on the 24th of September and has already received over 784,000 views, which is incredible.
Yeah, I love the fact that they went totally old school and did a meet my boyfriend tag.
Yeah, it was very old school. They seemed to be very besotted by each other. They were kind of all over each other, and Tammy had her like really long claw fingernails all over them. They seemed like there was a bit of chemistry going on.
And fans were quick to point out that he seemed like Reese Hawkins 2.0. And I think that was merely because he was white and had tattoos. I think those were the only similarities we could kind of see.
He's definitely not as hot as Reese Hawkins. I feel like Reese is definitely better looking. But I could see some similarities, as you said. They kind of have the same build, same skin tone, and the sort of random tattoos. His voice was kind of similar to Reese's as well, I feel.
I'm more interested by the timing of this announcement. It's been only 2 or 3 weeks since London and Reese announced that they were having a baby together. So I think that Tammy would have reflected how she appears. You know, she probably wants to show that she's happy. She's moved on with her life. She doesn't need him. She's not bothered.
Yeah, I think it was good. Good on her. Like, it would be really hard. You wouldn't want to be cast as the sad, lonely ex with her boyfriend moving on. Now, Sophie, this one's a little bit cheeky, but there is an Instagram couple that has caught my attention because they have unfollowed each other, then refollowed each other, and then, of course, been making huge public displays of affection.
This is, of course, YouTuber Madison Woolley and Jonathan Sauer. And I feel like Jonathan Sauer was on my radar last week after we did the podcast on Shiny Grimmin, because I had been going back, enjoying their cute little videos together when they first started going out.
And you were shipping them.
What?
You were shipping them.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
You know, when there's two, like people used to ship, like, Harry and Taylor Swift. Like, you like ship a romance.
Oh, I feel like I'm too old to know that. Okay, I'll have to start using that.
Yeah, so you were shipping Shani and Jonathan.
I was shipping. And I noticed how more romantic their photos were. Every photo of them was them making out. And I was thinking to myself, Jonathan and Madison don't really post like that. You know,
Madison's whole feed is just selfies of her.
Well, she's got to get the colors and tones right. So I was thinking to myself, I'm like, God, they haven't really seemed to post for a while. And she, of course, had her big secret photo shoot, and a lot of her friends were making a big deal about it, congratulating her on social media. And I noticed that Jonathan remained absent from that conversation. And I had a look and noticed that she was no longer following him.
Yeah, and there was a string of photos that had been unliked, which is usually a telltale sign that something has gone wrong. And it's not the first time this has happened, is it?
Well, they actually addressed it in a YouTube video mukbang, which they seem to be their favorite videos to make. And Madison said that she went out for a night on the town. Jonathan hadn't got back to her, so she decided to delete him. I think there were a few details that were missing from that.
It's funny because it just reminds me of being at that age. Like, we didn't actually have Instagram when we were 22, but I feel like it's just that immature thing that you do when someone pisses you off that you unfollow them. And then I suppose when you've got eagle-eyed people like ourselves looking at your social media and spot these things, it makes something that's probably a minor argument into a bigger deal.
To be honest, I love the drama this week, and I've been loving watching them get back together, their romantic evenings, them calling each other mum and dad. It's been classic to watch.
I actually predict they'll put a video out with each other in it, because that seems to be the usual pattern. They unfollow each other, they go MIA on each other's channels, and then suddenly there's an influx of posts about themselves.
Very
together.
Loved up posts. Yeah. I just think, let's just be real with it. Everyone fights with their partners. You know, it was good that they did address it in that other video. Let's hope they address it again, because I'd love to have known what went down.
What a ripoff!
Right, there's...
Huh? Over the weekend, divisive mummy blogger Sophie Kaysha was caught out on Instagram flouting Victoria's lockdown restrictions for the third time in the space of a month. Frustrated Victorians blew up her comment section, questioning why she believes she is above the rules. Sophie, can you tell us what happened this weekend?
Well, on Saturday, it's alleged that Sophie actually travelled into regional Victoria to spend the day with a friend. Now, the friend isn't an influencer, but people have been monitoring her page because she appeared on a podcast recently with Sophie. The friend took to Instagram to share a story about spending the day in the sunshine because it was very hot over the weekend.
Now, I hear that eagle-eyed fans or followers, I don't know if they're actually fans, have spotted, trolls, have spotted the reflection of Sophie in this friend's sunglasses.
That's right. And they have matched it up with the fact that the reflection was a woman with a black bikini top on, and then went to compare it to Sophie's Insta story, which also showed her wearing a black bikini top. It doesn't end there, though. Sophie's voice was also audible in the background.
Now, I've had a look, and it's fairly obvious that Sophie was there. So she has flouted the restrictions of staying within the 5 kilometer radius of her house.
Celeb Spellcheck were hot onto this. They screened mirrored the Insta story before it got taken down. So if anyone wants to check it out, you can go and have a look at on there.
Wow. So who actually took it down? Was it Sophie or her friend?
No, the friend took it down.
Oh, well, doesn't that just say guilty all over
exactly.
it?
Exactly. And what reeks of guilt even more is the fact that so many people were commenting on under Sophie's photo saying, this is disgusting. Why do you think you're above everyone? Basically demanding answers from her. And she has deleted every single one of those. So she's clearly trying to control the narrative around this lockdown situation.
Well, this isn't the first time Sophie's been accused of flouting the rules. During the stage 4 lockdown in Melbourne, she actually celebrated her 30th birthday, and it didn't seem like she only celebrated with her household, did it?
No, and I will never understand this. If you're breaking the rules, just stay off Instagram. Is it that difficult? So she put up an Insta story and it showed this table bursting with food and all these different hands reaching in, having a meal. And she muted the clip so that clearly the voices weren't audible in the background. So she went to the extent to do that, but it's just like, just don't post it.
Yeah, well, she was supposed to be celebrating in Las Vegas for her 30th, which, and I can really imagine that that would be really shit having to stay at home instead.
I know, I can sympathize with it, but at the same time, if everyone else is doing it, it just angers people even more who are missing out as well.
Oh, exactly right. And what I found quite interesting was that she showed a video of herself putting kind of like a media wall up at her own house with little logos about it being in, you know, a Vegas celebration. Now, would you really do this if it was only you and your kids and immediate family at the house?
No, you wouldn't. And now for those who aren't in Victoria at the moment and cross all of the restrictions in place, in regards to stage 4 lockdown, no visitors were allowed to go into another person's house unless it's for the purpose of giving or receiving some care. So clearly she broke these rules, having people over for dinner.
And it doesn't stop there. Some people have pointed out that it appears that Sophie has got fillers in her lips during the lockdown.
Yeah, well, she posted up this Insta story of herself with her lips quite pouty, which I didn't understand the picture myself. Now, she wrote, if one more knob writes to me saying, lip fillers in lockdown, interesting. Then she went on to say, if Coles or Woolies or 7-Eleven are handing out lip fillers, then sign me up, baby. Guys, sometimes you question my integrity when I think you really need to reflect on your basic common sense. This angered a lot of people. The fact that she was bringing up integrity when she has so blatantly flouted the rules.
It just makes no sense to me. I mean, obviously it's absolute crap that someone like this is flouting the rules. But as you said, why put all of this on social media? Not only does it make yourself look bad, but it also incites other people to not take the rules seriously and copy her bad behavior.
Why did you leave school?
Because I just couldn't be fucked when I wanted to do YouTube.
Really? You dropped out of school because of YouTube?
Well, like, I knew I wasn't going to need school for something.
I think that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm sorry that Amy went a little bit MIA in this episode. She had to leave, and we thought it was simpler just to move on.
Yeah, we wanted to get the podcast out at a reasonable time. We didn't want to be a day late. So, yeah, sorry for those that wanted to hear Amy's opinion on it. She did have a little bit of a cameo in the first
That's
topic.
Right. Now, I'm super excited to hear everyone's thoughts about Christmas decorations and the price you should spend on a Christmas tree. So please go and follow our Facebook community. You can find us at Outspoken Podcast Community. Please follow us on Instagram. We're outspoken_the_podcast.
And please keep sharing all your photos of you out and about listening to the podcast. They're our favorite thing to see.
And if you'd like to join our Facebook community, you can find us at Outspoken Podcast Community. We'll be putting up a thread from today's episode so you can join in and have your say on the topics we've been talking about.